Now welcoming in our next guest, national hockey writer at Post Media. He is Michael Trakos. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing pretty well. We're having a lot of Hall of Fame debates as we get ready for the announcement to come. It's again Lazier. He's going to be the headliner. I don't think there's too much doubt about that.
No, I don't think there's any doubt. I think if you're going to talk about Hall of Fame candidates, he's definitely a lock. The other guys, I don't know. I'm hoping for Alexander Mogilny. I think this might be the year that he gets in. And for a guy like Daniel Alfredsson, I have a feeling he's going to miss out. I don't know who else might be in there in terms of favorites, but right now I just feel confident with Ginla, and rightfully so. One of the premier power wingers of our generation, and a guy that, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys who play the game like he does. Maybe Alex Ovechkin is probably the closest in terms of that pure blend of obviously scoring, but mixed in with physicality, and Ginla was everything.
And Michael, you mentioned Alex Mogilny, and this could be the year for him. Why do you think that Mogilny has had to wait so long to potentially hear his name called for the Hall?
That's a really good question. I thought like guys like Pavel Bure would have opened up the door for Alex Mogilny. It never happened. You look at his career, he's probably like he was never probably top three or top five player of the years that he was playing. And yet, you know, this is a guy that, you know, regularly was close to a point per game. Sometimes, you know, when he was with Vancouver, where he got 107 points in 79 games that 1 year, when he was with the Sabres, flirted with 130 points, even late in his career with the Leafs, he was more than a point per game guy, going, you know, basically his third last season in the league. Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning there. Maybe spending time in Buffalo wasn't a huge market. Maybe he flew under the radar, but and then he was mixed in with some kind of bad years and with the Canucks, and then with the Leafs, kind of not really on the greatest teams there. But yeah, I don't know what the reason is. I don't even know what the reason why a guy like Daniel Alfredsson is sort of having to fight the debate when you look at, you know, he's the best all-time greatest senator for that franchise. Was a Calder winner, won a gold medal. I don't know why Daniel Alfredsson is sort of having to wait as well. But, you know, that's a good thing about our Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not a slam dunk in getting in there. And I know you can kind of pick apart and you probably come up with a list of a dozen names that probably don't deserve to be there. And at the same time, you can come up with a list of a dozen names that deserve to be there. But end of the day, you go in that Hall of Fame, and more than likely, the guys that you see on the wall there are rightful Hall of Famers.
Is it still a European thing? Because the two guys you mentioned, Mogilny, Russian, Alfredsson, Swedish, is that sort of the argument, you think? Or maybe a stigma? I don't know. Is that part of it?
I don't know. Like, I know personalities tend to come into play because we don't know how these guys vote on the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's such a close-knit group, and they don't tell us exactly how the voting broke down. And maybe sometimes the case of, you know what, the guys, the powers that be don't like that guy. I can't imagine that a guy like Mogilny, who played, you know, the prime of his life in North America playing for the NHL, why he wouldn't be in there. And with Daniel Alfredsson, you know, fine, he was Swedish, but the guy was physical. Like, Toronto fans still haven't, like, got him off the hook for that hit that he put on Darcy Tucker. And, you know, it's not like he played a soft style where you're going, yeah, I mean, he wasn't a complete player. And even so, like, who cares? So I don't get it. I know Stanley Cups matter. And winning matters. That's why a guy like Dave Andrechuk's in the Hall. That's why Glenn Anderson, Charlie Huddy are both in there. But at the same time, you know, just look at the numbers these guys put up. And, you know, my whole thing is, you know, when the guy was playing, was he one of the best players in the league? And or was he one of those guys that, you know, was he a superstar when he was playing? And, you know, in the case of Mogilny, he's definitely a superstar. again, same thing. And, you know, Alfredson, he might be sort of on that border.
Michael, you know, you mentioned the importance that they put on winning a Stanley Cup, and I don't want to discount that. Obviously, that's the goal of playing in the NHL, and everyone's trying to achieve that. At the same time, I think you could make a strong argument that now with 31, after being 30 teams for a long time and so much parity in the NHL, that it's harder than ever to win a Stanley Cup, and it feels a little off to, you know, hold it against someone like Daniel Alfredson that he never was able to get over the hump. Like, do you think that the committee maybe needs to reassess their criteria a little bit and put less weight on a player having won a Stanley Cup or two in their career?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. We don't know what the criteria is. I just know, like, when the NHL came up with their 100 best players of all time, I don't know if you remember that, at the All-Star game that was in LA a number of years ago, you saw a lot of Blackhawks guys that were on that team. I think Keith, Kane and Taze were on that list. Drew Doughty was on that list. And it was all, you know, based on the fact that those guys had already won multiple cups. So it does matter. And a guy like Malkin at the time had only won one. He was left off the list. So, you know, whether it's the Hall, whether it's, you know, even voting for the Hart Trophy, like, it's an individual award. And yet how much weight do we put on the fact that, oh, was he on a Stanley Cup or was he on a playoff team? And if so, was that playoff team one of the top three teams in the conference? Like, hockey is a team sport. And, you know, like, as much as it hurts a guy like Alfredson that you're playing on a crummy Senators team for a lot of your career, the fact of the matter is he got to the final once and he lost to, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, four times that they played him in the 5-year span, and that hurts. And a guy like Aginla, we're not faulting him for that, but part of the reason why he's going to the Hall is, you know, that pass that he gave to Sidney Crosby at the Olympics, and that's being sort of bandied about as well. So, you know, it's difficult. I don't know where I draw the line. I know Matt Sundin's in the Hall of Fame. He never won a cup. Eric Lindros got in there without winning a cup. There's a lot of arguments to be made. I know when Pavel Bure was up for getting in there, it was longevity factor. Was he injured too much? Did he play enough to get in there? And, you know, like I said, end of the day is, you know, Pavel Bure in my mind was a Hall of Famer because he's just one of the greatest players I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, when we're talking about Aginla, same thing. It becomes a little more difficult, though, I guess, with guys like McGillney and Alfredson and some of the other names that aren't in there.
Michael Tracos, our guest, national hockey writer at Post Media. And, you know, we've been having the debate today that will the Sedins get in on their first ballot? Because it's already next year. They'll be their first time on the Hockey Hall of Fame ballot. And, you know, here in Vancouver, everybody pretty much thinks, like, absolutely, yes, those guys are surefire Hall of Famers. But, you know, given that some of the names that we've talked about, even Alfredson, he had better, you know, stats on the raw level, you know, more points and fewer games played than either Hank or Danny Sedin. So do you think that the Sedins will be first ballot Hall of Famers?
I think one will be, but not the other. No, well, both ones.
They can't do anything without each other. Like, if Hank got in before Danny, he'd be like, no, it's I'll wait for Dan to get in so we can go in together.
Well, that's the thing. It's a package deal. And, yeah I think they both won scoring titles, right? And
yeah.
Henrik won the MVP or the Hart, but Daniel didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both getting it. I think they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. And you know what? Yeah, for the same argument that Ottawa and Calgary have for Aginla and Alfredson, in the sense that, you know, they define their franchise. And, you know, the Sedin, you can't talk about the Vancouver Canucks and the history of the Canucks now without mentioning the Sedin brothers. Like, they're so entrenched in that team for good reasons, not for bad reasons, obviously. And, yeah, in my mind, they're both first ballot Hall of Famers, and that's coming all the way from Toronto. And, you know, I really appreciated their game. For me, there's no question. At the same time, you know, we don't know what the criteria is. We don't know how much weight they put on championships and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, check back with me a year from now where we kind of get the scuttlebutt. And, the unfortunate thing is, you know, after Wednesday when we find out the names, we're not going to get any reason why certain guys were left off the ballot and certain guys made it. That's the unfortunate thing. And I think that's the great thing about the awards right now is that there's total transparency. Like, if you don't like the fact that I didn't vote for your favorite player, you can let me have it on Twitter or whatever, send me an email. And, I did hear about it last year when I didn't have Elias Pettersson for the Calder. This year I do have Quinn Hughes, so maybe I'll get some feedback from Cale Makar fans. But, you know, we don't get that same transparency with the Hockey Hall of Fame, and that's been one of the major gripes with this induction ceremony for years, is that we just don't know. Baseball we know, but hockey we don't.
Michael, I wanted to get your take on, you know, what happened with Austin Matthews and when it was reported that he tested positive for COVID-19. And there was some blowback and some debate as a result of that about whether that's something the media should be reporting on, or should it be kept private because it's, you know, the medical information about a player. Where do you land on that debate?
Hey, if Austin Matthews had a concussion or a broken leg or pulled hip flexor, we're reporting on it. So I don't get why this is different. I understand it's a non-hockey injury, or not even an injury, it's an illness. And yet, you know, don't tell me it doesn't matter. If a whole team becomes infected and we're not knowing who actually has it, we're going to be upset about it a month from now. So I didn't understand that whole scale, but why a guy like Steve Simmons is being raked through the coals basically providing one of the bigger scoops of this sort of offseason. I wrote about it. Ed Willis, I thought, wrote a great column on transparency and why this does matter. I think the way that we're going with, you know, Zoom conference calls being the norm, it's leading us down a dangerous road where, you know, teams are just controlling more and more of the information. And, you know, trust me, fans aren't going to like it. They're not going to like the fact that there's this much secrecy if teams are allowed to kind of control what does and doesn't get reported on. So this is something that, you know, in football, we knew that Ezekiel Elliott had it. We know basketball players, we know the names of who has it. In baseball, we know the names most of the time of who has it. I didn't understand what the problem was announcing that Austin Matthews had it. Like I said, if he had broken his leg during this time off and it gets reported, I don't think anyone really cares.
Yeah, and I get, like, okay, we're still a month and a bit out from games potentially being played, but yeah, if Austin Matthews all of a sudden can't play in the resumption of the season, you know, people are going to want to know why, right? Like, what are we just going to, like, he's out for unexplained reasons. So what, you're just going to let the speculation run rampant on that sort of a thing? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, this is going to be part of it, because if somebody does contract COVID while the games start, and maybe during the Stanley Cup playoffs, as we hope to play over the course of the summer, Michael, like, that's going to be a major story in how it may affect the awarding of the Stanley Cup. You know, a star player goes down. I mean, it's huge.
It's like, you can imagine what the reaction will be out of Edmonton if, you know, Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl gets COVID a month from now, or, you know, like, if a couple members of the Boston Bruins, maybe Bergeron and Pasternak, get it. Like, you go from being a Stanley Cup contender to, you know, basically, really having your odds just completely just shot. And we're not talking about, like, a third liner for the Maple Leafs who got named. We're talking about, you know, the best player on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's a big deal. And I think the NHL is more aware of when Austin Matthews gets it versus, you know, fill in the blank of fourth line player. It's huge. With all the other positive cases going around, that was a tough 24 hours for the NHL. And I think since then, they've been really, really paying attention to who's going to be contracting this. And if the numbers get kind of out of hand, you know, Austin Matthews sort of becomes that poster boy for, you know, the fear that the NHL has, in the sense that, know, they might have jumped the gun too soon on going into phase two, and they're really worried. They have to be really worried about going into phase three the way things are right now.
Before we let you go, Quinn or Kale, who'd you vote for?
I voted Quinn.
Buddy. Quinn Not Hughes. Jordan. So you redeemed yourself for Jordan Binnington.
It was a tough one, though. Let's be honest. Like, if Quinn doesn't win, this is one of those years where you can't really get upset. Like, it was a coin flip. Both guys are tremendous this year. It was tough. I just think Quinn, as the season went on, he was just taking more control on the back end. He became their best defenseman. And not that Kale is not Colorado's best defenseman, but, you know, the way that Quinn was impacting the games for the Canucks, that's the thing. I'm really looking forward to the playoffs because I think it's just going to be a fantastic postseason with a lot of these young guys that we haven't seen in playoff roles. I'm really itching to see what they can do.
You can follow him on Twitter at Michael_Trakos and check out his work at Post Media, national hockey writer at Post Media. Thanks for this, Mike, as always. Be well.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.